The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now,
my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
So I'm going to imagine that at some point today, you listening to the Doug and Wolf Show, you will have a strong opinion about the Doug and Wolf Show. Rudy Carpenter is in the Ogden Community Studios, and the former ASU quarterback filling in for Wolf. And I just heard you say something, or I heard Maloney say something in show prep about tomorrow. I didn't bother to ask. Are you filling in for Wolf tomorrow too?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm on.
And Rudy's on fire today, and I'm totally ready to argue the Astros and everything they were into. That's coming up later. But is there anything that you want to argue about now? Do you want to argue about body slamming certain sized people in pools? I mean, is there anything?
Here's the only thing I want to say before the show starts, Kay.
Okay.
I think everyone needs to give me a mulligan a little bit. I have a 20-month-old daughter at home and a son that's 10 days old. I think in the last 5 days, I've gotten 5 hours of sleep. So if I say anything crazy or do anything crazy on this show, just blame it on that. It's not my fault at all.
I'm going to not accept that excuse. And the reason why is I know you well enough to know that if they were both, I don't know, 25 and 24 years old, you would still say some of the craziest stuff, and it really wouldn't change anything.
I am really tired, though. I haven't gotten a lot of sleep, and I should say, I think you have two daughters, right?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, my first one was a girl, and uh-huh. It was, obviously a incredible experience when you have your first kid, but I don't know, I feel like to a certain extent, having a boy is pretty wild.
Oh, but
it's pretty wild.
Well, nothing's. I mean, it's not like he's running around the house like a nut yet. So it's still a baby, right? There's nothing dramatically different unless you're trying to avoid streams or something like that.
No, there's no. It's not different. I guess I don't want not to be too
it's all right.
Philosophical or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just think in today's world it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have to raise, is my opinion right now, boys and girls a little bit differently. And I think when I work with a lot of young kids,
uh-huh.
I work with a lot of young kids, and it's something that is interesting to me because I see these young kids every day, these young boys every day, and they're so much different than girls in the way that they act, and the way that they talk, and the things that they do. And I think that, to a certain extent, a lot of boys, in today's world lack mentorship from older men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do a poor job with that. And so I just feel like there's a little bit of added pressure, I don't know,
raise a man,
to foster an environment, to raise a boy to a man.
Yeah, I know that's actually, I think people are shocked at your beauty in your philosophy now that you're accepting that responsibility. That's pretty impressive. But at the same time, I don't flip it on you, but I look at the challenge of being a girl dad for me is that balance of you're totally equal, go blow people up mentally, figure out how you can win everything that you do, and yet at the same time, make sure you have the courage to stand up for yourself, yet not just be a complete and utter nut job while you're doing it.
I agree, and I tell people all the time, I have a hard time because at the end of the day, I don't see my kids as equal. I like my daughter 10 times better because she's my daughter. I don't know what to say. I really don't. I love my daughter. I love my son, but for me, my daughter was my firstborn, and I told my wife, I'm not going to discipline my daughter, so, you're going to have to do that. I don't know what to tell you. But my son, he's going to have to deal with it. My daughter, no chance.
Well, I will call your bluff on that one, even though you're only bluffing yourself, because when your daughter does something later on, you'll find it in you. Number two, you have a tremendous advantage over most people is because your wife is so much smarter than you that's going to help tremendously when it comes to being able to handle raising a girl. So you've got a built-in advantage.
Yeah, there's no question. I question my wife every day that she married me. I mean, that's the only thing that makes me question her. Like, well, you said my wife was a Division I volleyball player. My wife is the general counsel, the chief of staff for the Arizona Coyotes, amongst many other things, makes good decisions every day. And then I look at her, I'm like, but you married me. I have zero idea what you're doing.
She had to have one bad decision.
Yeah. That
was look at Bear.
Just a real bad one. That's the only a lifetime bad decision.
You know, your life isn't going the direction it should when Bear rips you.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where,
that's when you know.
That's one of those bad sides for Rudy. For those of you that don't know now, Rudy Carpenter is hardcore into the NFL draft combine. How many players that you've worked with are in this combine?
We have a lot of guys up at Exos right now who will be at the combine. Some very good players: Cesar Ruiz, Isaiah Wilson, two offensive linemen who I think are really good football players. From a wide receiver position, we have Brian Edwards, who just broke his foot, unfortunately. John Hightower from Boise State, Isaiah Hodgins, who's came out early, Oregon State, really good player there. He's been super productive. Running back Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, who's been explosive. He's going to run a really, really, really fast 40 time. So it's been fun to work with a lot of these guys. We got the Henderson kid, the defensive back out of Florida. He's been interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys.
Let me stop you on that one. When you say he's been interesting, in what way? Because I'm an SEC homer. I love what I saw from him in college football, but why do you say he's been interesting?
He's just smooth in his back pedal. He's going to look good in drills. He's a guy, like you said, that's played in the SEC. He's played against top-tier talent. I do think that I don't really care for the argument of what conference is better. I think it's a dumb argument. I know people like it. You're going to find good players all over the country when you're talking about the NFL. But he's playing in the SEC, and I think he's going to get a little bit of credit for that, going up against what some people consider, you know, better talented football players or more explosive guys. And so, like I said, I think he's interesting. We have Lamar Jackson, a corner from Nebraska, who I also think is interesting. He's highly productive when he was at Nebraska. He's 6'3". He's like 210 pounds. We'll see how he runs.
That took me my second – I don't want to act like a Nebraska expert. I think I watched him four times. But it took me about the second half of my second game to understand who Lamar Jackson was, because it just threw me every time they talked about Lamar Jackson. Like, now wait a minute, why do they keep bringing up Lamar Jackson? And then I, of course, put it together eventually.
Yeah, but like I said, we have a lot of guys up there at Exos who are gonna be at this combine and who will be obviously performing and testing and
are you going up too then?
Yeah, I'm leaving for the combine on Thursday.
What do you do at the combine?
Politic, basically.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Combine is a really cool place. If you've never been to the Combine, honestly, and you're into sports, you should go. And the reason why I say that is because when you think about the NFL Combine, I think people think of just the on-field workouts. Mm-hmm. And literally at the NFL Combine, the entire NFL world is there. And there's only three or four hotels that everybody stays in. There's only three or four restaurants that everybody goes to. And so if you just pick a hotel and sit in the lobby, you will see every GM, you will see every head coach, you will see every scout, you will see current players who are, maybe getting ahead of their free agent deals. You see agents who are getting ahead of free agent deals or getting ahead of their players getting released or hitting the waiver wire or whatever it may be. But there's all the media world is there too for covering the NFL. It's a great place to sit back
network and
network and politic and have a bunch of drinks with and a bunch of late nights with. And it's a fun place to be. I mean, it's a fun place.
So funny hearing your story, because when I talk to a bunch of baseball people, that's exactly what they used to talk about the winter meetings 20 years ago. Now they say if you want to meet a GM, they're all young hotshot GMs in the workout room and in the gym of the hotel at 6:30 in the morning.
That's the same.
So you
got to
go there. And now you're talking about drinking with people and staying up late. But I don't know if anybody's still getting up then, if they're up late drinking.
And now it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Hi, Vince. Sorry you're not going to get as much time because we got to go rapid fire because I was really interested in combine stories.
ASU basketball.
Wrong button, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning is Arizona Coyotes. They're in action tonight as nobody in the playoff chase actually played last night, so nothing really happened. The scariest, though, the nicest thing for the Coyotes, everybody that's in the playoff chase that's playing tonight are all on the road except the Coyotes. They're home against Florida at 7 o'clock. The negative? they still have played more games than anybody else in the NHL. So everybody that they're chasing them actually has tons of games in hand.
Look, the Arizona Coyotes need to stop the bleeding. They've been playing decent at home, been losing on the road, but they need to stop the bleeding. The trade deadline happened yesterday. They only made one roster move. So, you know, obviously the Arizona Coyotes right now need Darcy Kuemper back and healthy.
When you look at the price that was paid for some of the trades yesterday, nice job getting Joe Hall or Hall when you – not to say Joe. Well, getting Hall when you did.
Taylor.
Because that trade now would have cost you – almost twice as much, and I realize how much they gave up before. Bear, remember when I said it was rapid fire?
Number four.
Yeah, I didn't rapid fire. Number four, owners meeting today, 3 o'clock, the NFLPA's executive council and the NFL owners will meet to go over the deal. Jay Feely, former member and heavily involved in former CBA deals, says
the deal that they offered right now is not a good enough deal to sign. They don't garner enough, especially going to 17 games. And yet, is it the best deal that they can get? I don't know. And that's the hard part where you're in that position. You're trying to plan for the future. You're trying to make the best decisions for every player in the NFL.
I honestly, Rudy, think this is a bad deal for the players, and I think they should accept it anyway. Because they're not a strong enough union to really go on strike. They're not a strong enough union to really sit out a whole year and make these demands. And I do believe it's the best deal they're going to get because the owners agree with me on that.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I have a lot of feelings on this deal. I hope we get into it later. But the players do not understand their leverage. If the players want to start making more money and they want guaranteed contracts, they need to stop complaining about the NBA and stop complaining about other leagues. They need to start saving their money and be willing to sit out and tell the owners to pound sand. Until then, they have no shot.
I agree.
Number three.
Number three. Uh-oh.
What I understand, Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, who many believe is going to be the top pick, he's going to be talking to reporters tomorrow. I would be surprised, based on what I know now, if he does throw in front of scouts and fans at the combine this week.
Rudy, he won't throw. Does that mean he's not a competitor? Come on.
I think you're going to see a lot of top players, especially guys who are represented by CAA top tier guys, not work out at the combine, especially because the NFL teams are introducing a bunch of new drills.
If I'm in the CAA, I probably spent too much time listening to some offshoot guy at lunch.
Number two,
Mad Bum is a rodeo star. Torrey Lovello, were you surprised when you found out?
I guess no. Like I said, it's hard for me to predict what each day is going to look like with him because I do talk to him quite a bit. But I think everybody has a life away from the game. Everybody wants to separate and have some balance. And that's why for me, it's really, really not a huge issue.
I think what he means is I'm not surprised at all that he does roping on his ranch. I am surprised he won $26,000 in Wickenburg.
Yeah, I think what he's saying is Madison Bumgarner can do whatever he wants to do because he's got a lot of money and I can't do anything about it.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning.
We came out of the break thinking that the season is not over. We want to win and make a run and try to make a push for the playoff.
Ricky Rubio was fantastic. And I'll explain to you why that's a bad thing. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Rudy Carpenter filling in for Wolf today. Wolf will be back on Thursday. We got Bobby Hurley today, and he's on at 8:30. And whatever you're doing, try to drop everything in the 9 o'clock hour. I admit, I'm kind of in a I'll believe it when I see it mode. But in the 9 o'clock hour, we're supposed to have Rob Gronkowski and Bill Walton. That's not normal. I wish we could get them both together. I would love to see Bill Walton interview Rob Gronkowski. That would be the most entertaining. That would be much more entertaining than me interviewing them, but that's coming up at 9 and 9:30 today, Rob Gronkowski and Bill Walton. And I'll just tell you now, if you do a beautiful part of the program at 9:45, there's no way we'll be on time. Just want to say that now.
Obviously, Ricky, coming back here, that's a tough game to play against your former team. So many emotions probably going through his mind and memories and all that. And he dominated the game, and I think he had 7 steals. You know, that was big-time defensive effort.
Now, I have a little bit of a problem with it. If you didn't see the Suns game last night, the Suns were mostly fantastic. Another slow start. After that, they won 131 to 111. Ricky Rubio, 22 points on almost 50% shooting. And as a point guard, whenever you're around 50% shooting, that's fantastic. Assist to turnover ratio of 11 to 1 in this game. And you heard Monty Williams mention it. He threw in three steals. Now, he played in Utah for 2 years. And he comes back and has the handshakes and has everybody happy. And then he has one of his best games as a Sun. And just to be clear for those of you that didn't know, so I can be fair and transparent, I was not gung-ho on the Ricky Rubio signing at the beginning of the year. I wanted them to draft Coby White in the draft, put him at point guard, and not be wandering around in free agency. They didn't listen. Coby White now is setting records in the last couple games with the Bulls. And Ricky Rubio had a wonderful beginning of the year. Proved me wrong in every thought I had about Ricky Rubio. And then for about 2.5 months, he didn't just prove me right. He was awful, just downright awful. Now you drop this game, and he was amazing last night. And whenever a guy has been terrible for quite a while and then drops an amazing performance when he's going up against his old team, I always stare at a guy and say, okay, if somebody fires me, I want to have a good day against them too. I get that part. That's normal motivation. But if you can change to this degree of how poorly you played to how well you played, how is that a good thing? Where's this guy been since, I don't know, maybe October?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I was on this radio station when they had signed Ricky Rubio talking about this, and I'm with you, Doug. I wasn't a huge fan of this signing. Look, there's no question that Ricky Rubio is an experienced point guard. He understands the NBA game. He understands how to play the NBA game, just didn't know that he was the right point guard for this team. Mm-hmm. But like you said, going back to Utah for Ricky Rubio, going up against your old team, obviously it's important. You want to play well. You want to try to prove to them that they made the wrong decision by not bringing you back to the team and as a point guard essentially making you the leader of their team with the ball in your hand all the time. And so, look, when you're Ricky Rubio and you play 33 minutes and you go 6 of 13 from the field and you go 2 from 3 from the three-point line and 8 from 9 from the free throw line, you score 22 points, it's a big game.
Yes.
But look, Ricky Rubio, he's a veteran player who's making a lot of money. I think this is kind of the expectation of him. This shouldn't be like a big pat on the back game. This is who Ricky Rubio needs to be if this team wants to win. And now, in my view, you need a little bit more from DeAndre Ayton. You need a little bit more from Mikal Bridges.
Mm-hmm. The Suns, a big winner. Here's Ricky Rubio last night to Fox Sports Arizona.
Well, always when you play against all teammates, it's a little personal, but it's about us building what we are building right here in Phoenix, and I think it's a great culture. We came out of the break thinking that the season is not over. We want to win and make a run and try to make a push for the playoff.
I am sure that there were players that were dumped by the Cincinnati Redlegs in the 1870s that then came back and had a good game against the Reds. Okay, this has been going on for 160 years of professional sports. So I'm not ripping Ricky Rubio for feeling something against the Jazz. I am looking at it with, as Wolf would say, the jaundiced eye of where has this been over the last couple months? And if this brought it out of you, okay, what are you going to do next? They start a 6-game homestand Wednesday night. No Suns tonight. And then they're at home against the Clippers on Wednesday. It might be their longest homestand of the year. I'd have to cheat and look it up. But I know that it's a 6-game homestand. What's going to happen here? What is Ricky Rubio going to do again? Are you going to play like this? The 7 steals were what shocked me the most, because even though he's never been that good of an on-ball defender, he has been just atrocious defensively for quite a while. And then to turn it on like that, he was literally all over the place last night. He was in almost every passing lane. He kept knocking balls away from people. Even if he didn't get the steal, it created a potential turnover, diving out of bounds to save balls. That was not a Ricky Rubio that we've seen all year, and that has a lot to do with why they won. Now, you mentioned Ayton. I didn't know what to think. For the first time, I was opinionless on DeAndre Ayton in a game. And the reason why is he wasn't that productive, but neither was Rudy Gobert, who normally torches him. And I do look at it and say, if you're at least able to neutralize Rudy Gobert, Gobert had three more rebounds than Ayton, but Ayton had 3 more points. I'm like, okay, a guy that usually torments you, you came off of a great game in Chicago, and now you played okay, but at least the other guy didn't beat you.
Well, let me on the Ricky Rubio thing. Here's what's interesting to me. We saw this earlier in the season too with guys. We see it all the time, actually. When guys go back,
yes,
these players, they play their old teams. They get all fired up and they want to play well. The problem with that is we see this all the time in professional sports, which is guys sit out because they're resting, or we see guys like John Wall. We see guys like John Wall or Steph Curry who are literally sitting out the entire season when they probably could rush back, or they could come back a little bit faster just to be healthy. Or we see guys like Carmelo Anthony out of nowhere have a great game against the Knicks or something. And then you start to ask yourself the question, well, Ricky Rubio, you signed a $53 million deal or whatever. This is what we expect from you every single night. And I think that's the same exact point with DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton played 21 minutes. He was 8 for 9 from the field last night, which is good. And he had 16 points.
And his point guard had more rebounds than he did.
Ricky Rubio had 6 rebounds last night and 7 steals. But the point that I'm making about DeAndre Ayton is when you're the number one overall pick and you're a 7-footer, like, you know, having 5 rebounds and 16 points is kind of pedestrian.
Yes, yes.
And so I'm not. I think sometimes people think you or me or people on this radio show are hard on DeAndre Ayton. And I think the point is, yeah, because when you're the number one overall pick, you're supposed to be a franchise player. You're supposed to be a double-double guy every single day and night on the basketball court, and he's not.
And if you want to go look at one, look at Zion.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, it's to me, it's not about DeAndre Ayton and his lack of productivity or hating on him. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's young, but it's to me, when I was growing up and watching basketball, I know it's a different league now, but I just feel like when you have a big fella on your team who's a big physical, intimidating presence too, it really helps your ball club. And to me, that's just not what DeAndre Ayton is right now.
And the question is, does he become it? He was fantastic in Chicago. Now, what does he do after this? Again, 6-game homestand starts tomorrow night against the Clippers. Up next, which player will see the biggest rise at the Rudy Olympics? The Combine starts soon. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Rudy and I are on a long-running Astros argument right now, and it's going on in every not-so-beautiful part of the program, and it's coming up at 7:15 this morning. Also at 7:15, you've got Arizona Sports Ticket Window Tuesday with a pair of tickets to this weekend's festival at Tempe Beach Park. And, Paul, you've got to be nervous right now, I'll just tell you, for Paul's call. Even though there's 3.5 hours until Paul's call, at 9 o'clock we have Rob Gronkowski, and at 9:30 we have Bill Walton today.
Wow, flexing a little bit over there, Doug. Well done.
Well, number one, I wouldn't say I'm flexing. Maloney did both. Granted, there's a lot of credit to our promotions department for Rob Gronkowski, but B, I would also say the reason why I say I'm flexing, I don't think I am, because I'm kind of in the I'll believe it when I see it mode. When I see names like Rob Gronkowski and Bill Walton on the show sheet, I'm kind of like, all right, we'll see if they remember to call in.
You could put Gronk and Bill Walton on starting right now, and we're still going to be late getting into Paul's call. I might as well just go get coffee and scones right now. Just tell them my crew of producers just to go home.
Now the other thing is,
there'll be no time left.
We're wondering, and it's very important for you, Paul, to try to break a story and have this scoop. See if you can corner Rudy and say one question. Tell me a Gronk story. Okay, that's what you have to be able to do. Rudy's reaction to that statement says nothing, by the way. It doesn't mean there's anything there. It's combine time. Here's Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, and I really don't want to hit play on this because, Rudy, to tell you the backstory here, I consider myself a college football nut, and Clemson's close enough to the SEC, so I watch Clemson. But the ACC is so bad, I was watching only a half. So I watched basically a half of every Clemson game. And in that half I would watch of Clemson, I remember specifically thinking, you know, Isaiah Simmons is pretty good. And that was about the extent of it. Because how can you tell if he's really that great against Wake Forest, you know? Well, then in the national championship chase, suddenly Paul and Wolf come running in. And after all year of me talking Derek Brown, Derek Brown, Derek Brown, both of them wanted to run in and talk Isaiah Simmons. And I said, yeah, he's good. But do you see Derek Brown over here? And then what does Daniel Jeremiah drop on NFL Network about the combine?
One that's going to go in the top five or six, and that's Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, who is kind of this year's Derwin James. He can play all over the place. They play him inside at linebacker. He'll play over the slot. He'll play in the deep middle. He's long and rangy, and Scott, he's going to jump about 40 inches. He's probably going to run in the 4.4s at 6 foot four, 230-plus pounds. So he is an absolute freak, and he's going to be somebody that generates a lot of heat and a lot of buzz coming out of the combine.
So I ask you, who is your favorite player of the 2020 NFL draft?
Oh, to me, it's no question. And this is nothing to do with because it's my same position, but I love Joe Burrow.
Okay.
I love Joe Burrow for a lot of reasons. Let me talk about Isaiah
Simmons. Well, wait, he's got 9-inch hands.
Yeah, whatever.
He's done.
Let me talk about Isaiah Simmons for a second. Look, Isaiah Simmons, to me, is what the NFL is going to look like in the near future. Isaiah Simmons, if you pay attention to high school football right now, one thing you know is that the 7-on-7 circuit is a really big deal. And because of the 7-on-7 circuit, in my opinion, it hasn't been great for football, and it hasn't been great for these guys to develop. But what it has been great for is these guys that don't traditionally touch the ball all the time to be able to become ball handlers more, right? Wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, but also a lot of DBs who are getting their hands on balls all the time, or they're playing multiple positions. Guys like Isaiah Simmons, guy can line up and cover guys in the slot. He can play weak side linebacker spot. He can drop to the deep middle like Daniel Jeremiah was saying in a Tampa 2 coverage and cover a big hole. He's a guy who can play safety. He's a guy who can get down in the box and play in the run game. He's a guy who can come up and play what's called a mug look or something like that, where you're in press man coverage over a tight end. Think about Jimmy Graham.
Wait. He can guard a tight end?
Think about a guy like Travis.
You realize everything you just described is exactly what the Cardinals need.
Yeah, but here's my point about
the weak side inside linebacker, someone who can cover the tight end. When Buda Baker comes up and he's going to come off the edge, somebody can drop back and play center field.
Yes, but here's my thing that I was trying to get at with these guys, okay? I'm always skeptical of the physical freaks. That's just me personally, because I think when you evaluate a guy like Isaiah Simmons, he's a good football player. My only thing is to these general managers is, if you're going to draft a player like Isaiah Simmons or like Henry Ruggs, because this guy's going to test out of the gym at the combine when he runs his 40.
Like a John Ross.
Evaluate the film. Evaluate the player. Evaluate his intangibles, evaluate his IQ, and spend less time on measurables that don't matter. And that's my only worry with a guy like Isaiah Simmons. I want to see Isaiah Simmons be a little bit better in his recognition in the run game, or his recognition in route concepts, or his recognition in what gaps he is in the run game, whatever it may be, and not just rely on his physical ability. In the NFL, if they find a weak spot, they're going to attack it, and they're not going to stop.
It's interesting you bring that up with him, because, you know, so much more about football, but when I watched him play, I didn't see a lot of things where I didn't think, okay, I'm not going to be able to coach that. I'm not going to be able to coach that. It's interesting you bring up Ruggs.
When you watch Sean Taylor play college football,
oh boy,
every single time you watch him, what did you say?
I said, wow.
And how many times did you say that as Isaiah Simmons?
I did a couple times in
that's
the championship.
That's my point. Okay. Not very much. Okay. So if you're going to draft a guy like that, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
To me, that's all I'm saying. It's the same exact thing with the Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes argument. If I'm going to pay a guy $30 million, $35 million, or $40 million a year, then he better be able, in the biggest situation, the biggest pressure-packed situation, no matter what it is, to come out, put the team on his back, and win a game. Dak Prescott can't do that. He doesn't get paid.
Well, I will agree with your assessment.
Mahomes can't.
Your initial statement that sometimes you need to be wary or downright terrified of those freaks, the physical freaks who have had the game come so easy to them for so long.
DeAndre Ayton.
Time out, Paul.
Hang on. The Robert Kimdichis of the world, who could always rely just on his physical ability to beat the guy in front of him. And then when everything was a level playing field to a much greater degree, didn't have either the acumen or the drive or the work habits to go ahead and sustain a viable NFL career.
Well, let me ask you a question really quickly. Troy Polamalu, can you go back to a play and remember, like, man, there's like three or four plays that come to my mind right away on Troy Polamalu?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How about Ed Reed?
Yeah.
How about Sean Taylor?
Okay, these are all Hall of Fame caliber players.
Now do Isaiah Simmons.
Well, I didn't watch any Clemson this year.
If you're
going
to take a guy
so
in the top five, to me, that's what I want. If I'm taking a guy in the top five, this is what I want. This is what I need. And if I can't get it, I'm Bill Belichick. I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
I don't sit around and watch Clemson in the ACC network, but I've seen plenty of Isaiah Simmons highlights when they talk about Isaiah Simmons on the NFL network and other college. I mean, there's 5-minute highlight reels of Isaiah Simmons. Are you saying he didn't make any plays?
No, he's a good player, but I'm just saying you don't see the special plays. The special plays that I love Daniel Jeremiah. To me, he's one of the guys that people should listen to. But when you're playing in a linebacker spot or a safety spot and you can run from right over the ball and you can chase to the sideline and make a tackle on a running back who's 6 or 7 yards or 8 yards downfield, great. But to me, that's a win for the offense.
So is it an accurate comp to say he's akin to a Derwin James? Because Derwin James was an absolute stud from day one in the NFL. And he went 17th. He fell. I mean, the Chargers got an absolute steal in Derwin James, who made the Pro Bowl as a rookie. Is Isaiah Simmons, is that an accurate comp?
I think it is an accurate comp. And again, I think Derwin James is an interesting player because even though he was a first-round pick, he slid because people were worried about his intangibles and his lack of production at Florida State, considering the fact he was such a physical freak.
I look at Isaiah Simmons, and I like him. I do. But I love Derrick Brown. I love Javon Kinlaw. I love Jerry Jeudy. I don't love CeeDee Lamb, but I like him more than Isaiah Simmons. But Isaiah Simmons is in my group of five that, you know, okay, we all know Chase Young's not going to be there. We know Joe Burrow's not going to be there, and you wouldn't be drafting Burrow anyway. But I just mean I have like a group of five that you tell me one of those guys is there, okay, there's going to be somebody really good at number eight. There's never been more pressure on Steve Keim than there is this year. Coming up next, Torrey Lovello has responded to Mad Bum's Double Life, the latest on Mason. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf live in the Octane Community Studios. Rudy Carpenter, combine attendee, draft preparer, former ASU quarterback, is filling in for Wolf today. Kenny sent in a tweet based on Rudy. Rudy tweeted out, "Hey, I'm co-hosting the Doug and Wolf show today. Come in, chime in." And Kenny tweeted you back. And Kenny says, "Hard pass. Hashtag bear down."
What does that even mean? Bear down. All right.
Here we go.
All right.
Here we go, ASU. Come on.
The Arizona Wildcats are going to bear down. Good story, bro.
Well, I'm sure they will eventually in recruiting or something. Somebody will go well. And somebody look up for U of A if you get a second. Don't you have 3 lottery picks in this year's NBA draft? And you might be a 7 seed?
Hard pass.
Okay, thanks. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Networks, talked about the combine. We're going to get back into that in a little bit. But I want you to be able to hear Mad Bum, or not Mad Bum himself, but Torrey Lovello, talking about one of the greatest spring training stories ever. Why is Mad Bum Rodeo Cowboy a non-issue?
I don't know a lot of the details about it. I've just, some things have been coming in bits and pieces, and you know, everybody wants to know if I've talked to Madison or had to call him in, and that's not the case. I have daily conversations with Madison, and I'm still getting to know him, and I enjoy those conversations. So what those are and what direction they go in, they're private to me, and it'll be the same whether it's a topic like this or a topic of what we normally cover and what we normally go over. So, look, he's here to compete. He's here to help us grow and learn, help us win a championship. He's a great teammate. And we're getting to know him, so that's why right now it's really a non-issue for me.
There's two worlds on planet Earth, if you didn't know, and there's the world as we know it, and then there's Rudy's world, okay? And these are two completely different places. And the beauty of it is sometimes all of us need to wake up and realize more along the lines of Rudy's world. And then other times we all need to pray to our Lord and Savior that we're so thankful Rudy's world does not move into our world very often. But I am excited to hear your feelings of the new man that we all didn't know about, Mason Saunders, the alias of Madison Bumgarner when he rodeos in Wickenburg and other cities across America. I admit, there is a side of me that says this is ridiculous, this is horrible, this is selfish. You signed this contract, your contract says you know the contracts all have language in it. This is a dangerous activity, you can't do it. People stuck their neck out to put you on the team, blah, blah, blah. I do feel that. But I think it's so funny and so typical Mad Bum, I can't get as upset as I normally do on something like this.
Look, here's my thing. I've been following Tori Lavello for the last couple years since he's been here. Here's what I'll say about Tori. I love how he talks to the media. I love how he talks about his players. I just think culture is such an important thing. I think Mike Kazin has done a great job trying to build this team. I hope they win because I think these guys deserve it. Both Mike and Tori both deserve it. I love some of the stories that we heard from Archie Bradley regarding Mike Hayes and what they did in arbitration and how the organization handled that. I think it's how players want to be handled. But here's my thing. When you're talking about winning organizations, you're talking about winning cultures. The biggest thing you see winning organizations and winning teams is a winning culture. And that's what Clemson has. That's what Alabama has. That's what the Patriots have. And it takes different strokes from different folks. You need different people on that team. You need an Archie Bradley type. You need a Mike Leake. You need all of these different players on your team and personalities, but you also need a Madison Bumgarner, a guy who can come in one day as Mason Saunders and just loosen up the locker room and make everybody feel like we're just not sitting on pins and needles every day. But I also think it's important, and I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, I'm more than an athlete. And I don't even like this. All that stuff is so stupid to me. I don't care. But the point is, I don't understand why people get so offended or upset when a guy like Madison Bumgarner likes to do something other than throw a baseball hard off a rubber mound. Like, oh, you're such a bad guy. You have other interests in life other than throwing a baseball 100 miles an hour over a little weird shape. It's like, I just don't understand it. To me, I think this stuff is awesome. I think it's great for the team. I think it's great for this city. And I think it's great for Madison Bumgarner. And I think it's probably the way you're going to get the most out of him.
But despite everything Rudy just said, hey, Tori, isn't there danger in rodeo?
Yeah, I guess if you want to dig into it that far and get that deep into it, I want him to be safe. I want him to be healthy. I want him to come out and pitch every fifth day, you know. And those will be the types of things that we talk about. That's where I'm going to have to center my conversations with him.
Yeah, well, the kind of cars that most of these players drive, in my view, are much more dangerous than any horse or animal they're riding, in my view. These guys are driving, you know, super expensive cars really fast. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it.
This is basically Tori Lavello is sounding like Rudy.
I want these athletes to be themselves. I want them to be mindful what they have to do to go out and perform, and I want them to be smart. And I believe in a balance. I believe you get home, you spend time with your family, you enjoy your hobbies. As we all know, if you're doing the same thing piece by piece and day by day, it can wear on you a little bit. And not just in this one situation with Madison, with everybody. I want us to remember, you know, why we're here, what we have to do to keep pressing on and win baseball games and be a part of this organization that's doing the right things day by day. So that's my message to the entire team.
So he doesn't seem too stressed about it. What I'm wondering from you is how you feel about this aspect of it. Should Tori Lavello and Mike Hazen, manager and general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, find out through a national sports website that their pitcher moonlights in rodeos under a fake name? Should that not be something they know before they read it?
Yeah, no. Now that's where, you know, I do agree with you. I do think if Madison Bumgarner...
Will you guys keep that tape? Will you write that down? I've never had Rudy say that. Thank you. Yeah.
If Madison Bumgarner is going to, you know, want to be a starting pitcher in this league, and if he's going to want to demand the kind of money he's getting paid in this league, if he's going to want to be a starter in this league, if he's going to want to pitch every 5 days in this league, and if he's asking the organization, the fans, and his teammates to count and depend on him, I'm okay with him doing what he's doing, but I do think that it's better, it's more fair, and it's the professional thing to do to let the organization know up front what you do and why, and not have them hear it through outside sourcing.
Now, it does not bother me that he's doing it in the off season. The fact that he did it a couple days, the one documented case that they have is he did it a couple days before spring training with the Giants. There's nothing that's on record that he's doing it now. Like he did it right before he signed his contract with the Diamondbacks. Nobody knows if he's doing it now. At least it hasn't been documented. And Tori was asked, do you mind if he does it during spring training?
I'm getting to know Madison, and I'm learning how to love him, and I appreciate every bit of his personality. So if I just want him to be mindful and be careful. I'll leave it at that. But once again, I'm not going to tell these guys how to look.
No, I can tell you that speaking media.
That means no.
When I can easily say this. If he's doing it around his ranch and he's just writing and it's part of who he is, I can deal with that. Do I want him going to Wickenburg and real-life competitive rodeos? No. And you can hear that clear as day. Whenever you say, well, do you mind if he does it?
I'm getting to know Madison.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Tori. That means a big no. Join Bickley and Murata coming up this afternoon. They're going to be in Mesa broadcasting live from Sloan Park. Rockies Cubs 105. Tickets are still on sale for that game. And for information on upcoming Arizona Sports Cactus League broadcast, just head to the events page at arizonasports.com. Coming up next, Maloney just wrote a question on my screen that I am so sick of answering this question. The answer to the question is no. The question is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.